Hallelujah. Let us bow our heads, close our eyes as we look unto Him more than ever before. As we see the things we seek being revealed and made plain to us by the Holy Spirit. As we see the time clock striking the hour, as we hear the call of the Holy Spirit to walk closer. Being fully persuaded in our hearts that this is the fulfilling of the prophesied promises. God, who is so faithful, have kept His word. This is the hour of the rapture, friends. Day one is being taken, the other remains. This great gathering time when He's gathering the wheat together. He's taking away, burned the chaff with unquenchable fire. More than ever before, the greater determination of our hearts tonight, the greater sincerity. More than ever before, we want to serve Him all that's inside of us. If you look to Him tonight in prayer, let us believe, let us expect to receive, let our souls break through every veil, break through every realm of reason and imagination, break right into the presence of Almighty God, where we can acknowledge His great presence, knowing where two or three is gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst. So many times we come and we only reach as far as the geographic location, but like real spiritual astronauts, may we break through every veil, see this great mighty God unveiled before us, standing and conquered by traditions, showing that He's alive, the same yesterday and today and forever. Desiring to meet every need, where there is faith in the hearts of His children to confess that He is still the same, to confess that He is more than able to do the exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, knowing He stands as a high priest ready to intercede upon our confession of what we say that He is. Blessed be His wonderful name. Father, we bow our hearts in Your great presence. Lord, we are so thankful for this blessed opportunity. Lord, to be living in this great age, knowing that prophets of old, wise men, desire to live in this day, dear God. Same as the mother of James and John asked that they would sit on Your right hand and Your left hand, but You said, for whom it is prepared. So, dear God, as they desire to live, looking and knowing that one of these days You will come in all Your glory, You will establish a great kingdom upon the face of the earth. Oh, God, the saints will rise to meet You in the air. They'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. And they knew that this time was coming, Father. They looked down through the ages of time and they saw it and they prophesied about it. Even Your prophet in this day said, oh Lord, let me live to see this day. But Father, we realize that we are part of this great ransom church, that You have given this great privilege, dear God. And so as we stand here tonight, Lord, we realize that we are a privileged people. Help us tonight, dear God, as we draw nigh unto You in Your great presence. Lord God, we will realize the blessed opportunity that You have given unto us. You have come down in this day and You open up the seven seals, the hidden secrets that was in the back part of Your mind that angels, nobody never knew, dear God. You've come and You put this in the heart of Your bride in the last days. How we draw nigh unto You under the influence of this divine revelation, knowing, dear God, that You have come back in the form of the headship to take the oversight, to take the leading, to take the preeminences, Lord, in Your church, dear God, to take Your rightful place, Father, that You can lead this church into the fulfillment of all that You have promised. What encouragement that ought to give to believing hearts tonight. People who are in need, dear God, people who have come to this place tonight, not just, Lord, because this night is appointed for service, but Lord, to realize that two or three is gathered together in Your name, to know You are there, Father. You are there fulfilling Your word. You are there brooding upon Your church. You are there bringing back that genuine image, dear God. Lord, where a perfect man or perfect woman can stand upon the face of the earth again, This is your great masterpiece, dear God. This is your great achievement, Father. Lord God, that you will build that masterpiece, that you will step into that masterpiece, that you will work to that masterpiece, dear God. You will show your glory and your power in this end time. Oh, God, Father, I pray tonight that these things, Lord, become so real in our hearts. When we look around and see this world falling apart, when we look around and see this vast darkness upon the earth and upon the peoples, you said, arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you, and it shall be seen upon you. Oh, God, this is the hour, men, we'll look and see your glory in your church again, Father. Lord, again, Philistine saw the power come back upon Samson. When they saw them very greater works in that hour being displayed, they know that I wasn't a slave. That wasn't a man that they had in chains who they were making sport of. But Lord, something happened in secret. And so, dear God, we are realizing, Father, that something is coming back, Lord. Oh, God, something is moving again, Father. A channel is opened up, oh, God. Something is being quickened our hearts. Something is moving us out into a sphere where we are realizing by spiritual discernment, dear God, by spiritual revelation, you have returned according to the time of life. Like you told Sarah, Father, you've come back around a second time. I will ride this trail once more. Hallelujah, the world will not see me, but you will see me. I'll come to you. I'll make myself manifest unto you. Oh, God, we are believing, Father, that these things, Lord, in the very scriptures, Lord, as we examine it with the token that you have given unto us, we see it is you in the fulfilling of your promise. That promise is God in simplicity, now being revealed in humility. Oh, God, identifying yourself in the very word, Father, showing that these things were to take place at this time. Father, I pray tonight that you would take these things and you would inspire our hearts. Lord, it would make that faith that wax that much stronger within our bosom, oh God. It would cause us to rise up, Lord, in a higher realm to look beyond, Lord God, in the trials and the pressures and the little hardships. Oh, but the light of affliction is but for a moment. It will cause us to rise up above these things, Lord, and look, oh God, and see, Father, Lord, the things that are to be, Lord, the place where you are leading us, the things that you are bringing to pass, Lord. Oh, God, may it bring such an inspiration to the hearts of your children. May the Holy Spirit sweep down and move us out into such a realm, Father, where we can stand, Lord, with anointed faith. Oh, God, and just submit ourselves completely, Lord, without reservation, Father, that nothing, no matter what pressure it might be, no matter what kind of attachment you might have to it, no matter what kind of influence you might have upon us, Lord God, everything will be broken so completely, oh God, that you'll be able to take a people surrendered to you in your hand, that you can shake this world once more. Oh, may you grant it, Father. We look to you tonight, knowing that this is your program, knowing this is the very desire of your Holy Spirit. And yet, God, we pray that the Holy Spirit would unveil and make these things so real. Father, like your prophet when he stood there facing the whole world, some was calling him all kinds of different names. Some are saying what he's trying to make himself. Some are trying to come together to shut him out, oh God. No matter what they were doing. But he stood there knowing that he was Malachi 4:5. He stood there knowing he was Revelation 10:7. And though all the world and all the demon power came against him, they couldn't shake him away from it, Father. He knew that come to that hour. He knew he was standing in that spot, dear God. The word was made real in his heart. He saw it in the scripture, Lord. Even though, dear God, Father, they say he went off of the word and everything else, Lord God, in you, Father, because you and him fulfilling your own word. And so we pray we stand here in this hour with the same kind of faith, with the same kind of realization, the same Holy Ghost that make it real to him, Lord. May that same Holy Spirit make it real to us in this hour, that we can live under the influence and the power of these things. Grant it, oh God. Bless each and every one tonight. Take full charge in this service. And dear God, may just minister the grace. Lord God, the headstone came with shoutings to each and every heart tonight, that every power of fear and every negative thing, oh God, every bit of guilt and condemnation, every little creep of the devil might have sold to try to hinder and paralyze faith, dear God, Father, may be broken and cast aside, and may the people, oh God, flourish and blossom and thrive under the supernatural presence of the Holy Spirit. You might get glory in the lives of your children, in the midst of your church. Grant it, Lord. We pray and we ask these things tonight In the precious, wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You love the Lord tonight? Amen. We certainly are happy to be in this house and to take this time off to come and to gather together with Him. Let's just open up the Word a little bit. We were in the book of Daniel. I'd like maybe to just go back there a little bit again tonight and try to just recap from Sunday and kind of work our way up. We could just get past a couple of scriptures. That's why I say it's kind of difficult when you preach messages like this and you come Sunday and you leave a little space and you come back Wednesday. But we are not just trying to bring you some little teaching. We are trying to place this more to post the believers to understand a little better what is happening by God's grace. Daniel chapter 2. We're taking verse 31. We had Sunday. Trying to work my way to Revelation, but it just seems that Sunday I couldn't just get out of Daniel, and we had such a tremendous service. I just pray that God would just give us another great visitation tonight in His Word. Daniel chapter 2. Amen. Verse 31. This is a Daniel is speaking a dream to Nebuchadnezzar that he had dreamt and forgotten. And God, by a supernatural revelation, had made it known. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form of it was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, its breast and its arms of silver, its belly and its thighs of brass, its legs of iron, its feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest until a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon its feet, that were of iron and clay, and broke them to pieces. Then were the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. And we will tell its interpretation before the king. Thou, O king, art a great, art a king of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall be a rule over all the earth. And I could imagine Daniel was so confident, knowing that these things came by supernatural revelation, knowing that the Spirit that gave it to him couldn't make no mistake. He wasn't expecting Nebuchadnezzar to say, no, that ain't so, that part not so. No. He knew the power of infallibility was upon him speaking that. Because not only was he giving him the details of the dream, he was giving him the interpretation of what it meant. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. See, iron is the hardest out of the four minerals mentioned here. Iron is harder than gold, it's harder than silver, it's harder than brass. And so God, in doing that, was revealing the character of the type of kingdom, the type of power that was going to take influence over the earth. And whereas those were at the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, The kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. See the thought God has behind the iron and the clay? He said they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, marrying into each other. But they shall not adhere one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. So if we can look and see, the first kingdom came to pass exactly according to the vision. The second one came to pass exactly according to the vision. The third came exactly according to the vision. The fourth was exactly according to the vision. Then the fifth is going to be exactly according to the vision. You believe that? So it's not strange to look for this kingdom. We have received that kingdom already. Do you know that? Hebrews 12, we receive a kingdom that cannot be removed. That's the third part of his threefold mystery, to restore the kingdom. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in peace and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So the fourth kingdom is going to break the other three kingdoms, but this fifth kingdom is going to break all these kingdoms. So there'll be a lot of upheavals in the political realm in the earth in the last days. When it begins to take place is whether you can see kings and kingdoms passing away. But there is something about that name revealed in the seven candles. Something about that king. Amen. That comes down with an open book. Amen. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation of it is sure. Even before it came to pass, Daniel knew it was certain because it came from God. And did you realize that Daniel lived to see Babylon fall and see the next kingdom coming? Sure. So he actually saw the vision in the process of fulfillment. Let us pray. Almighty God, this book of Daniel that you gave almost 2600 years ago, realizing that every prophet and apostle after that looked in that book, Father, to understand the ages that unfolded. Even these last days, when the seven thunders uttered their voices, that which was sealed by Daniel has been unsealed and brought into plain view to us. And these divinely revealed mystery truths contained in these seven seals is what will literally turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. Lord, I pray tonight you would take these things and make it real to our hearts. Not so much as information, Lord, but to see the modern events being made clear by the vindicated prophecy. That we could see the time clock striking the hour. That we could see the end of all things is at hand. And may it strike a desperation in our hearts and bring us to such a sincerity, Lord. And Father, your church will be without leaven, fully surrendered to you. Grant it, Lord. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a seat. I was speaking on Sunday, the revival of the Roman Empire, and I want to speak a little bit on it again. And I'm taking these things, little bits and pieces, I'm trying to pick around because of the things that is happening. You see so many things happening out there in the world, and you see the evidence of the world coming to pass. And there's nothing greater to bring confidence in your heart and to bring expectation when you see the time that you are living in. You first must know what time you're living in, and then know what is promised at that time. And once the time is identified, then the things that is promised at that time, when you see it coming to pass, you can have expectation. The thing that Jesus told them when he said, Jerusalem compassed with armies, let not your flight be in the winter night on the Sabbath day. Men, seeing those things coming to pass, have to make great decisions. He said, don't go back in the city. Don't come up the housetop. Don't go back for your goods. Flee to the mountains. Because when those things begin to come to pass, he says, they will say, let the rocks and the mountains fall upon us. Blessed are the paps that didn't give suck in those days. And to think that those people who had followed that message knew that one day the people of the prince was going to come and the sanctuary is going to be destroyed by flood. And because of the message of the hour that they were under, that pointed out them national signs, pointed out them religious signs, pointed out the signs in nature, pointed out to them what part of the program of God they were living in when they saw Jesus came and the feast of the Passover and the feast of the unleavened bread and the feast of the first fruits and the feast of Pentecost was all identified as being fulfilled. And then they saw out there the signs of the people of the prince and the fourth kingdom that Daniel spoke of. Coming, the sanctuary shall be destroyed by flood. It put them under such expectation that when the enemy moved in there, not one Christian was caught inside of there. Why? They believed the message, they saw the sign, and they moved. People at the root of house and land and family and friends and associates and everything and flee for their life. And they were doing that by faith because a message instructed them that hour was coming. That's where we are, friends. The same word, the same ministry, it tells us, is repeating itself again. While that was happening, the prophet says, those priests run the temple. We as in Israel, we went to Masada. And Masada was the last stronghold that the Jews had under that Roman power moving in to break the church. Jesus said, the time is going to come. That they were going to come in there and scatter them into the four corners of the earth. People didn't believe that. After all, we are the church. We are the nation with light. The whole world is a heathen world. From China all the way to Egypt, to, you know, the Assyrians, to the Babylonians, every nation, the Africans, the Indians, all of them in the earth was all heathen religions. But Israel, for 1400 years, had the law, had the prophets, had the ordinances, had the feasts, had the statutes, had prophet after prophet coming, thus said the Lord, had the manifestation of God among them. But in the last 400 years before the Messiah, they begin to get Sadducees and Pharisees and all kind of denominations. The word of God has been replaced by the Torah and the Talmud. And then they begin to have this kind of institutionalized religion different to what Moses had established among them and David and Solomon and them had continued among them. What Hezekiah and them had restored back in times of apostasy. And so when Elijah came at the end of the Old Testament and began to blast that message, people were settled down. And he began to preach and warn them. He began to shake the nation. He began to wake them up to expect a promise that for 4,000 years they heard about. And he began to tell them, it's already standing in your midst. What do you think a normal Sadducee would think? I live here in my church. What do you think a normal Pharisee would think? We don't believe that, are we? What do the people up in the streets would think? We hear that for years, ain't it happening yet? One man alone, that all the truth? Did he have any influence on Barabbas? He was the Abu Bakr of his day. Sure. Pilate and all of them was trying to play the politics. Trying to get the church and influence the church to kind of, you know, back up and support what was trying to do in the region and everything else. That is going to make problems. Herod was playing his politics. Jesus called him a fox. That old fox Herod. And Jesus looking around in the region and seeing what is happening, he knew according to the Bible where he stood. He knew the prophecies, he knew the shadows, he knew the times, he knew the condition of the church world where they were. He knew where they fitted in the Bible, he knew where John fitted in the Bible, he knew where he fitted in the Bible, he knew where the Roman power fitted in the Bible. Is that right? And that's the world he lived in. In that world, he produced healing. In that world, he produced power, amen, to forgive sins, amen. In that world, he broke the powers of darkness from around the people. In that world, he brought them away from tradition to a reality that the world was coming to pass right in the midst. In that world, when it was opened up to him by revelation, and he saw where he was standing in the world. He preached the hour that the kingdom of God is at hand. He preached a people who look like nothing to be greater than the greatest man ever born of a woman. He said, these here are greater than John. And there's never a man born as great as John. Could you imagine a man standing there looking at the bride and people say, like, I hardly seen anything among them. And he said, never people as this people upon the face of the earth. Amen. Something about spiritual life, friends. It moves in certain channels. It moves you into certain realms. It stirs you to certain promises. It brings certain kind of conviction. Something about religious life, it don't get you up there. It keeps you bound in traditions. It keeps you bound in human works. It keeps you bound in trying to build a system. Amen. But something in spiritual life keep pushing man out into them cycles. Hallelujah! And the Holy Spirit begin to minister entrance and bring people into that realm of faith to convince them, that's yourself you're looking at. That's the hour you're living in. These are the things that God wants to bring to pass. This is where you fit in the Bible. And as they begin to yield and submit to that, as they begin to get convinced, and if they get convinced, they lay aside things. They lay aside things. As they learn more and understand what is required to cooperate with that word and to come into harmony with it and to see that word work through them. Amen! They lay down their thoughts. They bow to their ideas. They submit to the will of God. They praise God for that kind of election and calling. It opens a channel to anoint them. Hallelujah! And Jesus was sent in the earth to do just that. He knew his preaching wasn't to produce Pharisees or Sadducees. His preaching was to open up a channel to bring a new birth. He was talking about a new birth. He was talking about a kind of preaching that cuts man loose from the natural world and births him into another kingdom, into a supernatural atmosphere. Hallelujah! That's why they teach about angels and dimensions and theophanies and demonology. Amen! And operating God gifts. Hallelujah! Glory! Because he's not thinking about an institution. He's not thinking about a religious group of people keeping traditions. He's thinking about a people operating in supernatural realms. Operating by spiritual power. That's what he's thinking about. He's bringing up people in a condition where he can work in and through them. Because his church is he himself revealed. His church is himself coming back. Who was with them in them. Hallelujah. His whole purpose on the cross was to purchase them so he could sanctify them, so he could come back and indwell them. And having many more vessels instead of one vessel. Amen. Hallelujah. He could walk through a many-membered body. He came out there and he understood. He knew the people in the earth didn't know the Roman power. They felt it was just maybe a nation that stumbled into certain things. Because nobody down to there could open up that book of Daniel. Them Sadducees couldn't do it. Because it was sealed up when Daniel left. Daniel sealed it up. It was sealed up until Jesus came. John can't remove the daily sacrifice. John must pull an inspiration out of that book. Time the daily sacrifice is going to be taken away. When the real lamb will be introduced among the people. Jesus knew that Messiah was going to be cut off, but not himself. He knew he was that Messiah. Amen. They're going forth to build a wall and build a temple and so on until Messiah comes. Glory be to God. He moved in the rhythm of the world. He moved in the age, and that is what people miss in this message. They're coming up the message. They're coming up the messenger. When it begin to break, he said the very same day, very same hour that they hoisted that 6-point star, David, after World War II, after they signed the peace treaty. It's the very same night. He said, I took the Pan-American chart, I watched it. Amen. The very same hour, very same time, the angel of the Lord appeared to me over here in Green Mills, Indiana. But when you see what put him into the meeting place to meet the heavenly angel, God bring conditions around him just in that hour to burst him into that realm. Huh? From the little Baptist preacher to the servant at supper time, going to call the halt, the lame, the maimed, and the blind. Hallelujah! Called, yeah, in the field, amen. Glory be to God. When the fig tree begin to put by bud, and then all of the trees, Gentile nations, will begin to be revived. And brother, that prophet was catching by revelation. Look how all these things are moving according to scripture. The angel waited until the doctor come to me. Though he spoke to me in the river, he wouldn't come down that much closer. Though I was wondering about these Pentecostals, how could a man speak in tongues and then live a life like that? How could the Holy Ghost do that? Though he's going through his mind all confused during that time, that angel would give a vision now and a vision again, but many times not under scripture. Vision about bridge breaking down. Vision about people getting healed. Vision about different things. Hallelujah! But he's holding back. For when he come down himself, when he step out the ball of fire, hallelujah! Then he takes the Bible. Hand me a Bible. Amen. Glory. And he begin to go through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And he referred to him scriptures. And here was a heavenly, here was the author, the word himself, taking the word itself to sign his name in the book. To let him find out he's not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. Amen. To break that thing from around him and put him in the channel where supernatural faith can work in him. Hallelujah! What it is? God preparing a minister. God preparing a ministry. God anointing a man. Hallelujah! Giving him skill and wisdom to understand God's great mystery plan. To set him forth to wage war against the Goliath of that day. He's like David taking the slingshot of prayer and faith. I'm stepping out. Amen. To wage war against Goliath. Hallelujah. He was moving in the world. So Jesus and John, when they came, they was moving in the world. This book of Daniel was sealed up. They didn't know where they were. But Jesus knew exactly where he was at. He knew exactly what was going to happen. That's why he looked at the temple that day. And said, not one stone. He's going to see Jerusalem compassed with armies. When they begin to dig around, a ditch around this nation. Is that right? He was placing it by revelation exactly according to the Bible. He knew it was tied to his coming and to his message. He knew that power had to be there in the earth. When the people didn't even understand the kingdom that was in the earth, when they didn't understand the power, when they didn't understand what was going on, they say, let's make this man king. Let's make him king. Wow, this is the kind of king he was. He said, pray thy kingdom come. That will be done on earth as in heaven. He knew it wasn't time for the kingdom. Because he knew according to the book of Daniel is going to come in the days of the 10 toes. And that time ain't come yet. Amen. Yet he knew he was the king. Pilate said, art thou king of the Jews? He said, thou seest. Who tell you that? Somebody tell you that for yourself. Hallelujah! My kingdom is from above. If my kingdom of this earth. Amen. Then my servants fight. But when my kingdom comes, I rock all those hands. Hallelujah. He understood where he was at. Now, tell me, Sunday, this book of Daniel here, there was something about it. Because this first vision, it is the foundation vision of the book. I was telling them the library to try to get some more of these charts printed up because I don't know if you still have yours, but we're going to be looking at some things in the Word, and we need to keep focus, and the little visual kind of helps us get zeroed in where we need to be so you could follow and grasp a true concept as to what is happening. Because, friends, let me tell you, people are looking at it with a natural eye. They're not going to see nothing with a natural eye. Until the tribulation, they'll see it with a natural eye. Because then they wouldn't need a revelation to see meteorites hit in place and leveling buildings and tidal waves covering islands and disappearing. And when you're there in the earth in that time, you know you're not elect. But what you are to see here in this hour, gross darkness upon it and upon the people, you're going to see with your eyes anointed with eye salve. Outside of your eyes being anointed with eye salve, you are not going to see it, because you have to even have the Holy Ghost talking to examine what's going on in your midst, otherwise you can't even see it. And more daily, I'm realizing that people are sitting on there looking for something, and then what happens, a lot of people, they have the wrong concept of what they're trying to find. They fail to understand the symphony of God's Word, the junction, the changes of the beat, how it's unfolding, what is to happen. And that is what the Holy Spirit down through the years have tried to teach the people, to anchor them, to let you see what time you're living in, what is promised at that time, where those things fit in the Bible, how you are recognizing it, where all these modern events, how it's being made clear by the vindicated prophecy. The people without the prophet's prophecy cannot understand nothing. But to those who have thus said the Lord from a prophet when he opened the seven seals, every modern event becomes clear. Though it's supernatural devils and sins to the eye, you can see what they're doing. Why? Because you know what Satan's plan is. And you know the channels you have to work to bring it to pass. And you know under the fourth seal how united religion, politics, and demon power together. How we unite them powers. And you see them realms in the world. And you see what is heading up to in those realms. And when you see what is heading up to, then you know, you understand what is happening in the spiritual realm. You say, I can show those unitings there, but there's another one here. When you see that out there, you understand what's happening in here. Because they are going together. Is that right? You see, sometimes people get desires. Sometimes people get driven to certain things. Sometimes things look appealing to people, and they don't know why. Because if they understand the word, they will know why that spirit is anointing them. It's on the edge. It comes so normal. It comes like you stop in the rain. Rain falling in a country and you stop in the yard. You don't get wet. Because that is where it's falling upon that place. And there's an anointing that is sweeping the earth. People are not choosing. Everybody had a chance to accept or reject the word that was presented to them. To accept it is to make a decision that a word can come down to the channel of your mind, because your mind is the gate to your soul. The battle is fought in the mind. What is the battle? To accept or to reject. Satan is bringing intellectual voices to confuse you of the real voice. To hold you in a realm of reasoning where you are undecided. But decisions are made in the mind. And the decision is, what shall you do with this Jesus that's called Christ? That's the decision. Because it's a warfare. It was taught us that. That's why you have a neutral mind. To reject the message, accept the devil's lie. Because the power that makes you doubt and wonder and hold you in uncertainty, it is the other power that is competing for control. That's why God tells Cain, sin lies at the door. But as long as that word comes down true and you become a pregnant child of God with a germinated seed, the germ that comes through the body, amen, you're having spiritual intercourse in your mind. Amen. But that word is a spirit quickened word. When faith could find its bedding ground, no circumstance will be considered. Why? Because in that word, friend, it's not you doing nothing, you know. He said the life is in the word. You receive the word produces itself of its kind. You have prepared ground. That's what you have. An egg. You have a bedding ground for that faith to fall into. That's what you have. But the life to produce the promises is in the seed. That is why if you're born a Baptist seed, you bring forth Baptist life. If you're born a Methodist seed, you bring forth Methodist life. Methodist life will not make you look for nothing that is coming. Methodist life will make you look back to the past
and learn God according to history. But if you're born of this seed, it will stir you to a channel of scripture to see the part of the word you are. Your life, you'd be trying to concentrate on not drinking, not smoking, not cursing, not wearing bad clothes, not getting influenced. You wouldn't concentrate on that, you know. When you are born of that seed, you begin to look to see what is prophesied concerning you. It becomes your fulfilled righteousness. You are led by the Holy Spirit to quicken that word and bring that word to life. It's not a defensive life. It's a progressive life. You are going forward, led by the Holy Spirit. Because you're pregnant with that word, you have a repellent of an immunity because you're inoculated with that. It repels everything else off it. So if tonight you live in that kind of life, I hope I ain't do that. Boy, I'm watching this. I'm afraid of that. If this comes, I ain't gonna deal with it. I wonder what I do. No. You need humanistic repentance of God. You might be sincere. But a pregnant child of God is different. They didn't know what was happening. But Jesus knew. And that is why when Jesus came to a certain place in the ministry, he began to look at certain things. He began to speak, "Woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto you, Bethsaida. Woe unto you, Sion. O Jerusalem, how often must I gather thee?" And because he was there, he was not no longer in the healing revival. He was not no longer trying to discern people's heart. They said, "Prophesy, tell us who hit you. Prophesy. We hear your discernment. We hear there's no things. Even though your back turned, you can still discern. Prophesy, who hit you?" Herod said, "Sell him to me." He said, "Do a miracle in me here. I hear you're a great miracle worker. Oh, my court is so dull these days. All these jester juggling this, juggling that. All these belly dancers. You know, I want to see something phenomenal. I hear you could do some, you know, illusions. Great powerful illusions." He wasn't going to clown around for nobody. There was the wrong attitude towards the word to begin with. He was into another part of his ministry. He was in the part where he was telling them, "You miss your time." He was telling them, "It's gone." Which part of the message are we in? Are we looking for healing revival? Are we trying to stir people for healing revival? There's always healing, but we're not looking for healing revival. No, sir. Healing has never had been the Old Testament, has been the New Testament. He all never altered for healing. If it was under the blood of bulls and goats, how much more is here? See? It's here, friends. So if you smell and say, I'm looking for the power, and you're identifying the power, you'll see a lot of healings. Find it in the Bible. You want to go and heal up serpent seed? If it's a believer here sitting under the seven tongues, they catch in faith. It's taking away the fears and the doubt, showing them who they are in the world. It giving them faith beyond faith for healing. So healing will be secondary. You've got to give them faith to be changed. This message is going to bring faith for healing, then it's going to bring faith to be changed. The elementary part of this message is giving you faith for healing. Teaching how to approach God, teaching this in a finished work, teaching that Jesus can heal if you come in this very same suit of clothes. Teaching you that faith healing is not gift of healing, don't mean somebody have a gift of healing. It means knowledge of healing. Knowledge of how to approach God. Knowledge of which scripture you go to get the anointing for healing. Amen. So a person is looking for that. Now you have to know what you're looking for, you know. That is why people don't get things, because they're looking for this, they're looking for this, looking for this, looking for this, looking for this. And they should know exactly what they're looking for. What are you looking for? You could only look for something correctly when you know what time it is. You'll be looking for what is promised for that time. When God told Abraham, "According to the time of life, I'll return," he was looking for that. Is that right? Sure. When God told Noah, "Go in, Noah," he shut the door. He was looking for rain to fall. Is that right? When God told Moses, "Go into the blood," he was looking for the dead angel to move. Is that right?
You have to find the word, what time it is, to know what you're looking for. To know the expectation is correct. Because it's impossible to have correct expectations unless you know the time you're living and know what is promised at that time. You have to know the junctions of the word. Where we are posted. Then you're asking according to His will. Then you're asking according to His word. Then you are pulling for what He promised to do at that time. Isn't that right? Jesus took the book and found a certain place. Didn't they, when they know what time it was and what part they were being anointed, they know what to expect and to receive that at that time? Didn't when they try to pull for discernment at that time, it was the wrong time to pull for that? Didn't have a man have to go in the water when there's trouble, and when there's trouble, he can't go in? Didn't Abraham know what time it was? That's why he went in the tent and sit down? Leaving the cattle to starve, leaving the water to drop and everything else? How are you following tonight? That's why Jesus couldn't be shaken for him. He was locked in the word. Where he was speaking it out from, it was where he was placed, where he was walking in. You see, it's not that like we are outside the word and we are saying, you know, I'm looking at this, and all this is going to happen in this age. No. Because we are part of the fulfillment of the word, all what is going to happen have relevance to us. And why we can speak accurately, precisely, authoritatively, is because first we are understanding where we are at, what is happening with us. So when we look out there, we understand how we should behave. Because it is a double confirmation. It comes back and confirms what is happening with you. Like he says, when this happens, they're going to be making a road through your yard. See, it happens, happening. You know what to look for. John, when I see that dove come, then I know I must decrease now. You won't see my ministry going further. It'll be dropping back. And all John disciples hang around waiting for something to get greater with John. I know God will use John. You know. I tell you, things will get great, you know. But I tell you, when John seemed to inspire the other day. No. If they understand John's message, John has to drop back. That's why I tell friends of mine, I can't go no further. I'm dropping back. It's nothing sinful, but I have to drop back here now. See, he's watching that in the word, friends. And he knows, when that catches up with this, inside of here, you'll see certain things. Why? It all ties together. That is how you relate to the word. That's how you follow the word. That is where your expectation, your faith is substance. That is where it puts faith beyond understanding. Understanding, you sit down there and say, yeah, well, in this age, that's going to happen in this age, that's supposed to take place, it's supposed to happen here. I know God can heal, I know God can do something. So I know God would do it. But faith is go beyond that. Faith to say today is the day. And faith to step out. Like David knew God would do it, not could do it. It had an element with David only. But step out there. That's the difference. And that's why we're not sitting down here saying, you know, God can do this, and God can do this, and God can do this if you want, and God can do that. No. We are saying, by the fact that this is happening here, this is taking place here, you can have that move it now. If you don't move it now, that'll be unbelief. As good and clean as your life is, as faithful as you have been a church member all the years, trying to do all the do's and trying to do not to do all the don'ts. But moving with God in season. Being anointed with the word as it opens and it anoints you. None of those churches in those days understood what happened in the book of Daniel. So they wasn't looking for the Roman power. So they were in the temple. And they felt, what do we should do, boy? Say, so, yeah, I think we should go to the temple. Remember Joshua at the time? If they know the scripture, they wouldn't go to no temple. Because that temple had no sanctuary, had no refuge. Because the greater tabernacle had come. The greater lamb had come. The greater priest had come. The greater mercy was revealed. So the gold at temple have nothing. But they missed the day. So they don't know what to pull for. I'm trying to bring them to you. For you to know how precise the word is. For you to see that when things come to a certain spot, friends, as Brother Brown says, he says, now he has confirmed it to me that I was waiting for that third pull. And he tell me, he said, what are you waiting for? I have confirmed it to you. Step out. He says, I'm stepping out now. I'm feeling for that anointing. Because he told me he had already confirmed it to me. In other words, when God reveals certain things to you, God wants you to get moving. So you can preach here, recognize it, acting. See? That's when Jesus told him, I'll meet you in Galilee, and they went back to Emmaus. He had to go and find them and train them back around. Because it was not faith in the word for the season. So those people, they couldn't catch what was happening. And Jesus knew, with that Roman power, you see, remember when we went to the book of Daniel, I told you, God had revealed the first three kingdoms to Daniel. But he never revealed the identity of the fourth kingdom. But Jesus, in his time, you see, the fourth kingdom was going to be the one that's going to kill the Messiah. Because when Alexander the Great kingdom breaks up, then it was going to come the other kingdom, and the people of that prince is going to come, and the Messiah is going to be cut off, but not himself, and the sanctuary shall be destroyed after love. That fourth kingdom was the one that was going to be diverse from the others. That kingdom was the one that Messiah death was going to come by. So it means to say, people in that hour had to have revelation to know we in that kingdom. Now, the people who didn't even know the Messiah was, couldn't know the kingdom, you know. You know that? Because if you didn't know who the Messiah was, then you couldn't identify who the kingdom was. So that prophet John, when he came, and he said, I identify the Messiah. It was a work of God that was necessary to be done for the believers of that age. Because that revelation was not going to come to everybody. It's going to come to one man to reveal that Messiah, introduce that word to the people. It's out. And that word that has come to us. What do you think God has tried to show this message for? Because friends, when that message comes, that messenger begins to reveal to us where we are at and what to look for. Like Jesus posts them and tell them, when you see things begin to come to pass, then you know what time is going to be. He said they're going to surround this place. And when they surround this place, they're going to cut off everything, going to starve them out. He said then they're going to scatter them into all the nations they do. See? And the people could not accept that those things that was coming in was that dreadful thing in the making. A little inflation, line button number. Yeah, cool off after a while. Few people protesting and rising up and discontented with the wages and different. See? John say, be content with your wages. John speak about police brutality. He says, don't ill-treat each other. All this violence and different things. See? The oppression. Of the, we see today. Teachers striking. This one striking. Close down petition. Close down over here. Do this over here. Wow. You think that's just it? That's demon power. That is the characteristic of the age. People's rights. That just shows you the activity of the spirit. How could we sit here and recognize that and see the activity in the natural realm there, and then people look at the activity in the spiritual realm and can't recognize it? See? It makes you wonder. Now, every successive vision, okay, out of this book of Daniel, it only develops the original vision. God don't give one revelation and then give a different revelation. But God gives more information to better understand the first revelation. So then we took Daniel 7.
I'll try to bypass it for time to take something else tonight. Daniel 7, God showed four beasts. We took it Sunday. To correspond to the four minerals. I said the minerals showed the outward glory of the kingdom. Babylon glory was greater than Median Persian glory. Median Persian glory is greater than Greece glory. Because it kept descending. But the nature of it was changing. It was becoming more evil, more cruel, harder, until that last beast was diverse. And it says, watch. In the natural, you go in a city. You see the parks. You see the avenues. You see the buildings. You see the stadiums. You see the shopping centers. You see the things. What you see? The outward texture of the thing. You see the houses of parliament. You see the twin towers. You see the Jinpia complex and national stadium. You see the West Mall and the Grand Bazaar. You see the glory of the nation. The glory of the kingdom. But behind that is a beast. Carnival time in the shop. How vulgar it is. The gambling spirit all over the nation. Every lot of all kinds of different things. The superstition. See? Is a different spirit behind it. So God began to show Daniel the nature of the spirit. And he began to reveal them as beasts. Now this is very important. These things are not just superficial things like that, you know. Let me tell you. When Daniel understood the beast, he had to study that beast. And the more you study that beast, the better you understand that kingdom. Look at Brother Branham in this day. When you look at America, the only preacher who stood up and speak about America in that way. You know why? He looked in the Word. And he saw that beast coming out of the earth. He saw it revealing the Word. He saw the outward glory. He even saw the church in America, a beautiful woman rise up, but cruel in the heart, going to guide that nation to its ruination. That the only answer for it will be the atomic bomb to clean it off. And he was studying that beast in the land, how that beast is going to come up there. And brother is going to speak with the voice of the other beast. They come out to the sea. And so in the spirit world, he knew to watch for Catholicism coming in. He watched how she wormed her way in. He watched how she switched and beswitched the nation. And when the beast started to unfold and the influence of the compounding nation, he went back there and see how Jezebel was behind Ahab. Because that was them two beasts too. The beast that come out of the sea, Jezebel, and the one that come out of the earth, Ahab. And he saw the characteristic of it. Because when he went out there, that was the thing that had the whole nation under darkness because it was midnight for the people. They killed the prophets. It was a strategic move to put the light out. So that paganism could flourish in the land. That altars could raise everywhere. And so he better understood what kind of preaching he had to preach. So he better understood what kind of anointing. And when it bought him for a while, he said, honey, is there something wrong with me? Why do I wear into them things like that? Why do I jolt and shake them people like that? He said, after all, I found out it wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Elijah, fighting that thing. He said, my commission is to strike that serpent that's biting into those people. Now watch. Why? Because he was anointed to go forth with truth to combat that thing. So preaching for him wasn't going out there like all robots to gather people in a stadium or Billy Graham going out there to become the most popular evangelist in America. Preaching for him was another realm. He worked and lived in another realm. And that's what I'm saying. Your Christianity has to be different to the church member. The people out there in the denomination say, we are Christians, we are this, we are that, we love Jesus. You don't get trapped in that kind of business. God don't love the thing, God hates.
alive. When God unveiled, he said they're worshiping the devil in the name of Christianity. Demon powers moving Father, Son, Holy Ghost. So that's why you as a believer, you just kind of go along there in the same church realm like those things. No. These things have opened to you by revelation. It's identified itself in the scripture. It's presented in a certain light to you. Now when you see it, you see the ecumenical move, all the denominations coming together, is actually those fallen angels, those Lucifer in those men trying to build a more beautiful kingdom than Michael had. Is that right? It's life. He said it's life and death at the final struggle. That is why you as a Torah Christian, God trying to show you, I'm making you the word. I'm building you up to the place. See, purge you from all levels. Bring you to a place where it would be a complete reflection of God himself. That's why we don't settle down for a nice church and, you know, no, that is not having faith. See? So, when God gave those visions of them four beasts, God was now revealing something to Daniel further than what Nebuchadnezzar saw. And we talk out Sunday how there was going to be something coming the end time that was going to be so different. Because that fourth kingdom never went out of existence. It was going to stay right down until the end time. And I want you to see something. What is happening in the earth today, people look at it, is designed to deceive. It's put out there in a realm that outside of revelation, not even the bride could know it. Let's turn to Revelation 17. Pick it up over here. The same fourth kingdom that Daniel saw. Remember what we're speaking of, the revival of the Roman Empire. You know, it's about the bride revival. What brings the bride revival? The loosening of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? It revives us back to what the apostles had. And bring what all of those promised in the fullness. Well, when they stood there, friend, they lived in the time of the Roman Empire. It's the Roman Empire that cut that church down. It's the Roman bugs that eat that bride tree down. And if you loosen the Holy Spirit, brings that, what you loosen of them demon power is going to bring? It's going to bring the same thing back. See? It's bringing the same thing back. But the thing is, when we say Roman Empire, what do we mean? Roman Empire is not just religion. Bible says, every abomination in the earth come out of her. With a cup she drunk all the kings, all the nations, with the wine of her fornication. The whole thing is a cage. You know the cage? It's a cage of every hateful and unclean bird. A habitation of devils. He's bringing it to a cage. He's caging up the whole world. Every bird is being brought in that cage. Only you have been freed from that cage. Because people don't know it. Now look what takes us out. Eh? Let me show you. Revelation 17. And there came one of the seven angels who had the seven vials and talk with me, saying, come here, I will show thee, unto thee, the judgment of the great hall that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Now don't get to a place where you're not relating the word as we go along. Daniel 2, those 10 toes was 10 kings. And the iron went right down from the legs down to the toes was iron and clay. The iron never went out of existence. The iron went right down, even though it changed from pure iron to iron and clay. Is that right? All right. Now watch the kings of the earth here now. Have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of a fornication. The inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And you know the reason God put it in symbols is because he didn't intend it to be revealed to everybody. He sealed it up by putting it in symbols so it would remain a secret. So John said, he carried me in the spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and bedecked with gold and precious stones and pearls. And scarlet and purple is the official colors of the Vatican, if you don't know that. Having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with a great wonder. You know, we always say John typed the bride here in the book of Revelation. That's exactly right, because John was the eagle, and he's typing the eagle bride, because that's when the revelation comes, because John was transported into a future day, which was the Lord's day. It wasn't Saturday or Sunday, it was a future day when he is with a white wig between his priesthood and his kingship. That's the time when the book of Revelation is to be revealed. Because the book is to reveal after the denominational ages run out. That's why for 7 church ages, nobody could understand the book of Revelation. It was a book of prophecy. But the prophecy wasn't prophecy like Matthew 24. You know, Matthew 24 says, and there shall be nations against nations, and there shall be famine, and there shall be pestilence, and rumors of wars and wars. But in the book of Revelation is, and there's a woman sitting on a scarlet colored beast, and she has a cup, and the king is drunk, and the city is sitting on 7 hills. And the prophecy is given the form of a symbol. That's what they call an apocalypse. See? That's why the book of Daniel is like the book of Revelation of the Old Testament, because the book of Daniel is sealed up in symbols too. And the reason God gave it in symbols, because it's going to take the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come back to unseal those things. It'll have to tie all scripture together, and it will have to be revealed by the scripture. See? So when people say there's not which part of the word prophet in the last days, it just shows the ignorance that they speak with, because it was sealed up by a prophet. God gave it in the form of apocalypse, in the form of symbols, and going to take a prophetic gift to come back in the earth, as was promised, to make these things plain. For no higher order to reveal the word but by prophets. See? Now what? So John, who's a type of the bride, just like how John eat the book and all these things, just John is caught up after the third church age. Here again we see John seeing this woman. But when he sees this woman, he wonders. He sees this beast and he wonders. He don't know what it means. He's looking at it. Yet he's seen it drunk with the blood of the saints and the martyrs, but he don't know what it is. Yet that's the very power that put John on the eyes of Patmos. Now watch, friends. But there's an angel who said, come, I'll show you this woman. This angel was one of the seven angels who had the seven vows. And the angel said unto me, why didst thou wonder? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. Now the only way John could know it, this angel had to reveal it to him. Now you get where I'm coming from? This fourth power that is in the earth today, that comes right on, that is going to be here until Jesus returns. According to the book of Daniel, it never went into existence. The iron went down to become iron and clay. And then, here John is seeing that power. But because of the way it's symbolized, because that power was to go through things that Daniel did not show in his vision. But when John began to see some of the same things that God was showing pertaining to this kingdom, it was going to unfold more about this beast, how it died, it almost died from a deadly wound and raised back up, changing the outward texture, though it's still the same kingdom. That's what makes the last day bride wonder at it until that angel come and begin to reveal it to her to cease her wondering. That's why we don't wonder whether it's a computer, and we don't wonder whether it's some mark tattoo on your hand and tattoo in your forehead and all this nonsense. That's why we don't wonder about that. You know why? This same angel who had one of those seven vials has come and spoken and uttered its voice and uncovered the mystery of that beast, that power to us here in the earth. And that is why when we look at that power in the earth, we see how she is serving our mingling our wine. We see how she's putting on her garment. That's why the Holy Spirit come and show us, look how he take Poland, look how he take Russia, look how he break them economically, look how he's taking nations, look how he take the whole Caribbean here. See? Look how he's taking the whole world. See, it's showing you how he's drunk and getting them drunk with the wine of her fornication. All the kings of the earth. Now watch something. Was the fourth kingdom a world power? Then it means that every nation was under its dominion in the earth. In the time of Jesus. Is that right? She swallowed the whole earth. Then when she almost died and she rose up as ecclesiastical power, every Protestant church as well come out of her afterwards. Not before, afterwards. While she was a pagan nation, she had all the world inside her. She had Egypt, she had China, she had India, she had all of them. That's why you go in Egypt, you go in China, you go in all of them, they have that woman with that child. Is that right? Now be spiritual right here. Then when she was wounded and revived, we're going to a little bit just on Revelation 13, and she revived and became an ecclesiastical empire, because today we don't see people walking around with big swords in the Roman Empire like how we see in pictures long ago. Now you see popes walking around. Now you see Catholic churches everywhere. Now you see Protestant churches. Now you see media stations. Now you see big industries. Now you see the air industries. Now you see the sports arenas. But the thing is, we are still in the Roman Empire. I know some of you can't break in to see what I'm saying here. And it just shows how people give me the message. And when they talk about Catholic Church, what I mean is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and this and that. And that's why they get tapped with it economically, politically, and everything else. With all the demon power, they get tapped with it. But the thing is, they ain't going to genuflect in no church. So that kind of form of it do influence them. But the other forms of it tie them up as tight as could be. Still the same woman power. So where's the revelation of the overcoming? You know what I'm saying? All the abominations in the earth. When she was Hitler and Stalin them and all these powers in the earth there, did that look like the Catholic Church in that form? It looked like Nazis, look like communism, look like fascism. Is that right? When she traded all the merchants in the sea and all this ivory and all these different things, and all this gold and all this precious stone, all this silver and all this wheat and all this oil, all this Moroccan dust, all these football clubs, that look like Catholic Church? It looks like Catholic Church, why? Because people don't understand the power. They don't understand the power that they're dealing with. But watch what I'm saying. As a fourth empire, every nation politically was subject to her in the earth. They was all within her confines, within her jurisdiction, under her dominion. Then, when it was wounded and began to rise up again, then all the ecclesiastical powers came out of her when she became Papal Rome. So what in the earth is not under her? All the Protestant churches originate inside of her. All the nations of the world was in her before she became Papal Rome. What I am saying is that is why it is normal and it is logical and it is happening. Every power is going back. And that is why her control will be total. That is why it's not hard to accept her control is total. Because the seeds of the Catholic... The prophet went so far to say, any woman who cut her hair and who can't be subject to her husband, the seeds of the Roman Catholic Church is in that woman. He said, wherever you see a dominant female, the seeds of the Roman Catholic Church is inside that woman. He said, she might not admit it, but it is. Sure. Why we get so quiet? I'm not condemning people here. I'm trying to talk about Rome. I'm trying to bring out something here in the scriptures. I'm trying to enlighten you to what's happening. People are so sensitive today. A minister could hardly even preach and try to bring a point and say something. People come to church so defensive prone. Like they're going to protect, like somebody that will take away something from them. You are coming here to be built up, to be strengthened, to be motivated, to be filled, to be inspired, to be perfected. That's why you come here. You do business with the Catholic Church every day and don't even know it. All of us. All with your children. Now let's read a little further. Let's get back to verse 7 a little further. And the angel said to me, why didst thou wonder? I will tell you the mystery of the woman. Now that's this message, friends. You know that. And of the beast that carried her, which had 7 heads and 10 horns. But that angel who revealed the great hall is the same angel who will refute your home. It's the same angel who measured the city. Is that right? That's the same angel John bowed down to worship. And that angel was a prophet. So then we are seeing that this very message has come to us. And this angel has come to us because it was necessary for us in this age to have that revelation. If that angel uncovered water baptism and covered different things, didn't cover to us this thing here about this woman and the beast that carried her. Because when he uncovered the beast that had 7 heads and 10 horns, that is Revelation 12, the red dragon that was in heaven. That had 7 heads and 10 horns. So it tells that Lucifer himself is the very power behind the system. The angel of the bottomless pit is the very one that is the power of the system. That is the very channel through which he walks. That's why a prophet could say, he said, that spirit of those fallen angels is in those men. I want to show you the things that you read and things that you see. And that you really can't accept sometimes. You don't associate it together. Because sometimes the revelation is not quickened to you as it ought to be quickened to you. And you're not watching. Suddenly your scope is so wide, you don't know the areas you're supposed to be watching. And the things that is that as it comes on, that tells you, see where you are standing. See if your lamp is trimmed. See if it's filled with oil. See, you know, how clear you are seeing. See if you recognize what they are doing. How far are you walking? When it's time to not go back in the city. When it's time to come on the house top. See what time it is. See where the boundary is. But after Jesus said that, he said, and so like a snare, it shall come upon the whole world in the last days. The beast that thou sawest, now what this angel reveal is now, this beast with 7 heads and 10 horns, he said, the beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. It was and is not. And it shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. So if it was and is not but shall ascend, it does not mean it is not in existence. It yet is. But it's not what it used to be in the as pertaining to its form. It changed its form, but its nature is still the same. Just like God in morph, he changes form, but his nature is still the same. Now watch. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. Now watch this one. This is the part I read all as to get, you know. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. Remember John was wondering too, right? But the angel came and unfolded John. Now remember, what I'm not talking about the Catholic Church here in the sense that you think of the Catholic Church, eh? Because if you get personal, I can show many of you your influences on the Catholic Church. But we're not trying to hurt tonight. We're not to hurt nobody. Just to throw light on certain things. Because we are looking at a little wide out here. So, you know, sometimes you say, I wrote me talking about the Revelation 17 and the mother harlot and protestant. I'm not talking about that. I'm going a little further than that. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. When they behold the beast that was and is not, but yet is. Now here we come back to my point now. What I'm speaking on? The revival of the Roman Empire. What am I emphasizing? It never went out of existence. It just changed its outward texture. But it's still here with us. It was, is not, but yet is. And once you name not in that book, because if you name in that book, that angel with those vials come to you to make you stop your wandering. By revelation, he shows you who it is. He shows you where they work. When we quote it many times, the seven seals that cover the skin of the enemy. That's a quote. But he said, show us. Lucifer had 5 eye wills in heaven. How he dropped down on the earth. How he opened a door to himself in the human race. How he come down through 6,000 years. How he's going to sit in the temple in this hour as God and be worshipped as God. Why is he going to be worshipped as God? All they that dwell on the earth don't know him. The Bible says when that devil comes and deceives the whole world. Now we get into something here now. The names written in the book is people who are going to have a revelation. But if it was possible, even the elect was going to be deceived. What is bringing the deception? The systems. Why are you not deceived? Because that angel come and uncover that thing to you. He identified you in the Bible. Show you where it never went out. Show you where it's here. Show you where it just changes form. Show you the realms is working in. Show you how he's uniting his powers together. Show you how he's getting ready to be enthroned as God. Show you how he has great success in carrying out his threats. Show you where he deceived the whole world. because they reject this message, which came to give them an eye salve to anoint their eyes to see. Watch. So far, we are reading here about one of the angels with the seven vials. That by itself is a revelation. Then we are reading about a woman that sitting upon that beast. Then we are reading about the beast that carried the woman. Then we are reading about they who dwell on the earth, but the name's not in the book. There's no representation. You know how you just know them? You just preach the scripture and show it to them. Nah, that can't be that. How are they so sure that right? See? Why? There's no place of the word inside of here. Now look how it goes further here now. Look at the next verse. Let's all read it. The next verse. And here is the mind which hath. That's the first gift of the Holy Spirit. Wisdom, Solomon says, is the principal thing. When Paul was writing it, he couldn't contradict Solomon. He had to put it first. Here is the man. How? Where is that mind going to get wisdom from? That angel is going to come to rightly divide the word. Where is wisdom? Fitting the word together. Sure. Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. I don't want to get too far, but let me read them more quickly. Time is up already. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen and one is, and the other is not yet come. And so many people get confused with these things because when John saw that vision in 1895, there's five kings. You see, there are seven, five are fallen. Five are then gone, and one is. One is there presently, Domitian, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And watch this now. And the beast that was, and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. The beast that was, pagan Rome, is not pagan Rome, but yet is still pagan Rome, though it is papal Rome. The beast that was, it was pagan Rome. Is not pagan Rome now, it's papal Rome now. But yet is still pagan Rome. That beast that was and is not. See that Caesar's. As a pagan Roman Empire, political empire. When it became an ecclesiastical empire, it changed from Caesar's kings to popes. Let me read a couple of quotes here now to show you that Pontiff Maximus, the prophet say, is still with us. The Roman Empire, he said, when that Berlin Wall is torn down, he's going to bring it right back in that Roman circle of the old Roman Empire. You see, when them demons of Euphrates loose, it revived the Roman Empire that was bound and could not let loose. Because it was the same beast, because it was papal Rome, ecclesiastical empire, it couldn't just rush out there and kill millions. So what they did? The spirit let loose through the political realm. But it was the Catholic Church, because the demons that was doing it were the same demons that slaughter millions. When Titus came, that slaughtered 68 million in the Dark Ages, and had come back and killing 6 million systematically, and is going to come back in the last days when he make war against the saints. When he waging economic war to bring on the squeeze. When he's waging an industrial war to shake up nations. You think he's the Pope out of the forefront? Now think of it, you know. When it come out of Revelation 13, it's America. And out of America coming investors, and out of America coming the DEA, and out of America coming the Secretary of State and signing treaty in. Do you see his ministers, angels coming out from that beast system that come out of the earth? What do you see? What do you see when you look? I'm talking the scriptures. How you relate to it? Or you see, but it don't mean nothing to you. Or you're not interested in it. You're looking for Jesus to come and looking for the power and these things. Is that right? Now watch, what are we talking about? Seven church ages. We close up here. Just want to bring out revival to human empire to show you. He had read Revelation 13. I didn't get time to read it. But you know, Revelation 13, 1 to 8 speaks of the beast that come out of the earth and gives you the description. It is a composite beast. Lion, leopard, bear, all mixed together. Going back to the book of Daniel, because John saw the same vision that Daniel saw. Because all the preceding kingdoms was absorbed into the last kingdom. That is why the beast was diverse from every other beast. And I'm saying, if you are in the earth in this hour, and there's a beast that comes out and is moving in the earth, and an angel come to you to reveal to you, you will not wander after that beast. And that angel has come and sounded and gone and is not here. Should we be wondering? That angel is gone, you know. Have we understood the message? Do we know what we're looking for? Think of it. Is things happening around us that we stumbled over and you know, it could be, I ain't know, I can't make it out, it look like man like trees, I ain't sure, I need a next anointing. Or when I look there, I can see it. I see the scripture coming to pass. I see the power rising. When Paul and them look back there, and they saw that, Paul said, what's the matter with you all? You want to go back to Judaism standing there? He said, them priests standing there ministering daily sacrifice, can't take away sins. And that woman, power is coming, them slaughtering angels, to slaughter that whole thing. And scattering the spirits of the earth, Israel blindness was in part. The Gentiles have been called up now. Remember the mess when I dust my feet, when I shook my raiment? Remember the prophet, remember when I threw the rock up in the air? Like them Jews could say, remember when Moses poured the water on dry land? What has followed that? Paul knew that was that beast. You know what Paul said? The mystery of iniquity has already worked. He said, remember what I told you them things? You mean Paul was watching that power there? I know that power will work right until when Jesus comes, when that rock comes out of hands, in his own time, when the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords, is going to come, he shall destroy me the brightness of his coming and the spirit of his mouth. Because Paul saw in Daniel, he shall be broken without hand. Yet Paul can say, that power in the earth there is what Daniel talk about. Yet Paul knew, this Holy Ghost that coming to me, that revealing these things to me, this Holy Ghost that is sending me to break the power of darkness and turn them to light, bring them to inheritance of saints in light, this very power that is sealing them up. Because why? The slaughtering angel is going to follow my message and blood will flow through Jerusalem according to what prophesied in Ezekiel, according to what prophesied in Daniel, according to what prophesied in Jeremiah. It's going to come. Paul understood that. And here, Brother Branham knew, he says, though they can't envision it now, she's going to control politics. He says she's going to take over the whole world. She's going to trap the money of the Jews. She'll bring all them things in. He said, she'll change laws. She'll change times. See? And we see it coming in. We see it happening all along. Every day in the papers, we see the empire being revived. And yet, you look for the church and like, she's falling asleep. And she's drunk. Out of the same cup. And like she's dizzy. We're supposed to be believers. Sports have some of them dizzy. Fashion have some of them dizzy. Money have some of them dizzy. What do you think is happening? They're drinking out of the cup and getting drunk. Sex. People backsliding back and forth are falling in the flesh of them. Where is that coming from? Fornication of the Babylon. The cage of every head on the kingdom. The spirit of organization is the spirit of fornication. Do you know that? Don't you know fornication is idolatry? Don't you know idolatry is covetousness? Babylon is confusion, friends. There is religious Babylon, Revelation 17. There's commercial Babylon, Revelation 18. Two realms of the same power. Here she's controlling trade and commerce. Here she is a spiritual power in the earth. See? Give her official colors, controlling the kings of the earth. Sure. Over here she's wheeling the merchants that trade by the sea with all the different commodities. And right here. Listen quickly. Revelation 13 shows the power of the Roman Catholic Church and what she will do to organization. Remember, this is the false vine. Let it name the name of the Lord. It does so only in a lie. Its headship is not of the Lord, but of Satan. It finally ends up completely identified with the beast. The whore riding on the scarlet beast distinctly shows her power is the God of force, Satan, and not our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 17, it emphatically shows that she will gain absolute control of the commerce of the earth, for no man can buy or sell apart from her. You know why God promised it to Paul? Not to show us that we have power, you know, to meet that challenge. Because God is so certain that is prophetic, that is going to come to pass. You won't be able to eat or drink. You won't be able to buy or sell. And he said, there'll be something to multiply the bread and fish again when the press comes down to force you into that. Don't you see why God had to open up the mysteries to take the fears and the doubts of the people to perfect their faith? Why? Because he knew absolutely, surely, positively that system is going to move in and take control of everything. And she will control the very elements that cause man to survive here. As far away as you put the third pole in these things, you put those things. So if you're looking for the third pole now and you want to see the power now and you say you're looking for those things, first thing you have to believe the church has been perfected now. Then secondly, you have to believe that she's already have that kind of control now. Then could you believe that you are being perfected now, she has that kind of control now, and you entangling the affairs in his life? Sober. Think of it. Quick. It's not about bluffing the subconscious. Christianity is about walking, looking, seeing, weighing these things in the Word. That's why the Word comes to filter our thinking. How are we thinking about things? When we look at it, what does it mean to us? What value it has to us? It will determine on our revelation. It's our revelation. Makes a difference. In Revelation 13, 14, we learn that the beast spreads his influence through the image which was built for him. You mean all this world, congregate churches, is being built for him? And that image is coming out of where, friends? United States of America, 13 colonies, 13 stars, 13 stripes, Revelation 13, that is where she's placed mathematically in the Bible, the United States of America. Remember years ago we went through that return angel message? It couldn't come until this time because she's just about 200 and something years old, 220 years old, that's all she is. It was like a little lamb come out of the earth. Is there not a real male sheep or ram yet? It was still young. When you talk about Rome and Egypt and India and all them different nations, you talk about thousands of years. When you talk about America, like a couple of hundred years ago. When they fled for freedom of religion out of Europe and come there and colonize that place. Yet look at her influence of gone to the earth. She's the global cop today. She says, "Talk to Castro." Everybody's scared. Everybody go bankrupt. They're calling the USA. Everybody need her. Saddam Hussein, one of them is being quiet there. Boy, they fly there, throw some bombs on the right way. Be able to get back in line. One made over in Ethiopia, one made over in Sudan, one made in Panama, one made here in Trinidad, one made they burn up Grenada, one made in Haiti. See? The USA. All our technology. Look. Her influence is going to go in the old earth. Now, when we talk of this and this, we talk about ourselves and the church, you know. You see, that's why you can't, your Christian life can't be a church life, you have a work life, you have a school life, you have a next life. So when you come in church, just think of yourself as the church. So yeah, we are against Rome. Outside in the world, this is not my Christian life, this is my work life. Yeah, I can't speak against the system. You know what I'm saying? We learn that the beast spirit is influenced through the image which is built for him. The image that is made is a worldwide ecumenical council wherein all the organized churches will get together with the Roman Catholics. They are doing it even now. It is quite possible this union will come in order to stop the power of communism. They already break up them states there already. Spirit still they're trying to let loose again, but it bound for a season. See? But you watch them people in Russia, if you follow the news. You watch and see. Yeltsin right now has to give the Prime Minister power to take charge of the army. Though he's still holding on to on the nuclear weapons. Why? Because he's alien and dying. On the other side, Pope John Paul is alien and dying. Every time something happens, they try to pump up themselves, make a press appearance. But they are fragile, their health is almost gone, one foot almost in the grave right now. And I told you with these elections that moved this year, Israel, different places. You see how that Israel Prime Minister came out first? All rhetoric, yes, born. People get all kinds of stuff. Well, maybe things are going to happen. And I tell you, I said, that's the laying of the foundation for the fifth coming of the Spirit of Elijah. Forget what they say, that's just politics. And look at him last week, right there, shaking hands with Arafat. They are going forth folk with the peace. You know why? The scriptures cannot be broken. You see, friends, when you know the scripture, when you understand the hour, you will get carried away with what this man said, that man said. People can say what they want. What man said have no power? It's what God said. What the great political analysts sit down and draft out in the mind. Nothing. The seals is open. We know what's happening. We understand what's happening. Anybody can speak with authority is the bride of Jesus Christ. You know why? The same spirit that opened the seals is the same spirit with the bride saying come. And what she said was already said by the prophet. And what the prophet was already said in the word. And she, beyond her messenger, becomes the final voice of the final age. Sure. You see, it's coming to a place. You have to know what you're looking at. He said, take note everywhere the Roman church went. Communism followed. It has to be like that. Let me warn you now. Don't get thinking communism is your only enemy. No, sir, it is the Catholic Church also, and even more so. And then he goes on and reads a little bit of the Revelation 13 about this beast coming out of the sea, which is a multitude of peoples. He says Satan and his satanic religion are in both of these beasts. Satan and his satanic religion are in both of these beasts. Beast is what? Power in the earth. This power is religious power, political power, demon power, economic power, industrial power. Is what it is. In Revelation 13, 1 to 4, the beast was wounded unto death, but lived again. Is imperial pagan Rome that fell to the onslaught of the barbarians and thereby lost her temporal power. But she regained it in papal Rome. Do you see it? The nation that ruled by crushing all and which became the strongest empire ever known was finally wounded to death. Revelation 13, 1 to 4 tells that. Her power was gone physically as to control by armies, etc. But under Constantine, she came back to life. For papal Rome has infiltrated the whole world, and her power is absolute. She uses kings and merchants. So here is a religious power that is still that pagan power working through kings and merchants. You ever watch how kings and merchants go together? You ever watch? Let me show you a similar thing. You see right in Trinidad and see. You see what happened to Grand Bazaar? See what happened to the last government? When the thing wasn't passed? When the bill played by the road there and it was contrary to the law? You see when the UNC was coming to power and all the big businessmen coming there, hoteliers and different people, and come right in the ministerial positions, merchants in the earth? Your mind's so far-fetched and the thing is all around you. And that's why you're walking for it to understand. Because if you said we are part of the bride, well then we are part of an elite group of people that is the bride who operate by spiritual power, the Holy Ghost, God Himself, then they are part of the merchants. Then the others is part of the politicians, the kings of the earth. So everybody in the category. And each category is anointed by a certain spirit. And that produces the activity in the different realms. Whether political realm, religious realm, spiritual realm, business, economic realm. In the same different spirits, each one anointed a realm. Don't you realize this last trial that went here? Now look at the abominations there. But that is connected up with the power of the state. That is connected up with the kings of the earth. That is connected with the merchants of the earth. Because it is operating behind legal fronts or other kind of businesses. So the merchants of the earth trading in this I talk about the Syrian mafia and the Indian mafia and the next mafia, see? And they're trading all kinds of different things. Who have the different businesses? Security business over here, restaurant chain over here, clothing chain over here, this chain over here. But behind that, it links up with different species. You see what Bram said, America is honeycomb with communism. You could have a little something like honeycomb with Babylonism. Sure. You have your little school, you have your little business, you have your little different things. Honeycomb. Because all different waters flowing in that one river. Some sewer water coming here. Some other kind of water come down here. Some kind of water come through here. And all flow in here. Wouldn't your eyes have to stop and make sure what flow here is one water? You see, your vision is what is influencing. How you see. If the book is open,
Remember when you talk about the book of, when you talk about the book of man show organization for us to come out of organization. It's demonology we deal with. And that is why, friend, two can't walk together except that way. Light can't fellowship with darkness. You don't patch your old garment with a new garment. Birds of a feather flock together. Fellowship is like with like. And that is why, you see, it's come to a place. Come to a place. And we have to know the power that influences us, that moves. Whenever it comes, it will go to the world. It's a tremendous sign. A lot is happening. See? That Roman Empire, as it says at Sunday, look what the arenas become. The arenas become the Olympics. The theaters become Hollywood. Could you imagine how they cultivate and develop those things until they become a zillion-dollar industry? The Grand Prix, what they have, become the chariot race. Ben-Hur chariot race, that become the Grand Prix today. You see what we talk about? It's still here. End time seed time. This is the one that really struck a lot of people in the message just recently. Everybody, I'm speaking here talking about. He said there has been a national teaching ring. Communism sowed among the people, every nation. There's been a Roman revival. Do you know what happened? No, 1962, I think it was, where they've been to put up that Berlin Wall. And here what he says. He said, do you know what happens? If they give the western part or the eastern part of Berlin back, that puts communism the Roman Empire, just exactly in the old circle it was in the time of Jesus. Certainly it does, perfectly. When that Roman Empire, see, when that wall is built up, you know what was that? That was communism. Everybody gets scared and say, watch communism. He said, don't you watch communism. He said, watch Romanism. Because he had already seen the thing worm its way in America. 1960, Kennedy was elected. 1962, he had to put up this wall here now. Cold War, we're in the Cold War. Remember when they had the bear pigs? When John Kennedy went to blow up the Russian ships there and they wanted to launch a missile on Cuba? See, you read the message. And then what happened? The whole world was shaken. Why? Because they had the weapons right in the arsenal. And it wasn't time because not one atomic bomb could drop. The seals wasn't open yet. That angel didn't come down and break them seals yet to gather that bride and pull them out. And so the winds couldn't let loose. It was angels holding back them winds. Let it blow on the earth. You see? And then when that happened, what's something? When that happened, it began to move in the earth. Here all those years, right up until this hour, it's come to a place. When 1989 here, and that was the same year I got the privilege of going, went into Czechoslovakia, went into Poland places, and preach on the Jubilee, preach on the wall being broken down, and rehab coming out, and those things here, where I testified that, we had the tapes in the library too, how going in there, God giving the messages, right, traveling with the brothers on the road, how I preached the year before in the Vatican Washington Alliance, and the special agents and was in the service, and the brother was afraid to interpret. And at that time, Poland was falling. And then, afterwards, 1989, the wall came down. And when the wall came down, I began to show, I says, look, what happened? All they do, they take down this wall now because they make it bigger. I said, like, people have people fencing a small wall here. So what do they build a bigger wall? And then they just break down this wall. And they say, you are free. Oh, and everybody's running everywhere. Because they felt they were free now. Now they could move back and forth. But that wall was only torn down after they had the bigger wall. And because the age changed from industrial age to information age, Now every individual, but they're tracking every cow in Europe. Satellite knew every cow on every farm. You have certain among the acres, certain among the cows. They know every cow. They're tracking by satellite from there. Everyone is marked and everything. Sure. Look at all these things that come in here. Like for instance, yes, we couldn't get to go out with a little foreign exchange. Everybody want foreign exchange. But the people have it in their shoe. People have it posted out in the envelope. People look at different things. Paper move, you're still the same person. You travel the same way. Where are you going? Just some new paper. You just remove certain things in place. Say, take off this thing and apply to central bank. They take off this here. You're free now. Are you really free? See? They manipulate the public like that. False freedom. They're coming away now. Credit card. This here. Links. Link up the bank. All these different things. Visa. Master charge. All these things come in. And they take a whole people who are already in debt into further debt. And after they cultivate you for years under American lifestyle and American influence through cinema, through TV, through everything, then they come and give you it. So then what happens? Then people begin to start to spend what they didn't work for yet. But the words by the sweat of your brow, you live bread. You know what I'm saying? You see, walking in the words, man, is long past, I believe, the message. Thank God for the prophet, Brother Branham coming. But we are the truth. It's long past that. You see, when that Berlin Wall is broken down, it'll bring the whole thing right back in the sight where woman and power was. You know what woman and power did? That woman power is what slaughtered the church that rejected the Messiah message. That woman empire is what the church had united with to crucify the word. Isn't that what's coming back? The church is giving the power to the state. The church and the state rather is coming together like the people. We have no king but Caesar. And then the church united with the state. And because the church couldn't kill nobody. So they needed the power to do the killing. Is that right? Sure. And that is why what you see happening and developing all around you, you want to wake up to know, is the time getting better? Is it really getting better? Prosperity is going to be for everybody who don't have a revelation. You see, some people, we were talking last night, some people, you get a little blessing, a little prosperity. You figure, oh yeah, well, the squeeze is coming again. And you take your mind off of what the words say. And you take your mind off of what's happening around you. You see? But remember, when the squeeze comes, when we talk about squeeze coming and can't buy and sell, you got nothing to eat, you know. That's in the tribulation period. When plagues start to destroy the economy, when the sea become like the blood of a dead man, when the heavens is shut up for 3.5 years, and famine start, and widespread disease, that tribulation period. But going up to the squeeze, it is becoming more prosperous. That is why everybody getting trapped into the snare. It is your revelation that is making you walk away from the elements. And that's why a squeeze is coming upon you, because you're not submitting to the trap. The squeeze is coming for the people whose revelation keeps them out of the system. And because they become offensive to the system and a threat of constant exposure of the system, then they have to be removed. Holy Spirit is coming. But remember, trade and commerce to bring the whole world is a kingdom based on economics, peace, and security. You come in preaching peace, bringing them all together, destroying them by peace. He's going to come and cause craft to prosper, the economy. See? And then by his laws that he's raised and bringing, where nobody can do anything outside the church, to give them security, to remove all these cults and all these people with all these strange different things who have done so much evil to the society, have broken up so much families, have separated so much people and everything else, have led people astray with all these false doctrines, to give them security. So for the world, it's going to continually get better. That is why they are thankful for the system. That is why they're happy. Their jubilee come. But to you, friend, he said, I will keep you in the hour of temptation. Because you have kept the word of my patience, which shall come upon all the earth to try them. Because all that dwell on the earth is wandering tonight. They can't recognize it. They enjoy, they drunk, they get them sports channel 24 hours a day. They drunk with sports out of the cup. They get them violence, who like violence, they drunk with that. They get them pornography, who like pornography, they drunk them there. What in the internet is her big cup? It appeared in the paper today. You're adopting children through the internet now. You see, when you know what adopting children is and how it gives it even more protection, you don't even have to show up. You get the child picture, you get the child name, the sex of the child, the history of the child, all in the internet itself, and you can make up your mind when you want, and then they send you electronic mail and everything, you go through all the channels and everything, and you can do it. It's coming to make sin legalized. Probably Satan legalized whiskey, illegalized smoking, illegalized all these things, illegalized prostitution. He built a kingdom where sin is legalized. Because he's a vulture that feeds on his own people. He comes to corrupt and destroy and pervert everything that he could take in under that influence. But the word has come down to uncover that to you. You know what he has done? He has perverted the taste of it. And then he gives it to them. So they actually, in truth and fact, they call for it. They want it because he perverted the taste to taste after it. And then he gives it to them. He said he makes them thirst for success. He makes them thirst for ambition. He makes them thirst for beauty. He makes them thirst for these things. And then he perverted it. And then science bring away, you can have it. Oh, and then that's what they long for. The dream, the crave is now answered. It's being satisfied. And that's why you keep these things out of your life, because you know it coming in to pervert your taste. You want a holy man taste. You want a thirst to be like Jesus. Why? God give you a revelation to see the other kingdom that's coming, things that are to be. God give you a revelation to see what a man is in God's hands in this day. God gave you a revelation to see the difference between church and the word. God gave you a revelation to see the difference between religious and spiritual. And because of that, you see the evil of all these things. The evils of the evil age is going to cover to you. Prophet said he put a lost veil on them that they're lost in faith. He take off the holy veil, strip them completely, and they have a lost veil. They desire it. They want it. They're looking for it. And then it's coming into them. Better standard of living. You're going to raise up your standard of living. We're going to bring you in into this, great market here. We're going to make all this. We're going to move taxes. We're going to move customs. We're going to move all this. Once you're there, all the goods will flow free. You don't have to study to get this. What you see? A great future. You see betterment advancement. To hold you in this realm. But God is showing you, look away to Jesus. Look up and see Him there descending. Your redemption draweth nigh. And until you see the cry in your heart saying, even so, come Lord Jesus. Remember, the same John, after he see all those things, the effect of the revelation in the end was, even so, come Lord Jesus. Until that cry don't come in your heart as a cry that burst out of this pest house, you know you're not ready to go yet. Because God is not going to come to take people who don't want to go. It is that cry to leave here. It is that groaning, friends, to bust out of this. It is that faith that is ignited in our heart, seeing the last sign before they change our body, seeing them come back around a second time, perfecting what is lacking of faith to bring it to that place, a rapturing grace sweeping over her. That is the thing that is getting ready to go out. That is what you're craving for tonight. I want to go. I want God to stimulate that more and more, friends. Like a rival. I want to see a desire for that land beyond the river. Real. There's a curtain that's drawn between earth and heaven. I want to see that place. Like a prophet, you want to see it. Angel said, would you like to see it? He said, oh God, that would do me so much good. He said, where is Jesus? He's been my life. I live for Him. He said, I want to see Him. They were trying to lift Him up and exalt Him. He didn't want that. He said, I want to see Jesus. Where is Him? Who has been my life, who I live for, who I preach for. That's what we want to see, friends. When it's outside the body. That is what we want tonight by God's grace. That is what you want inside of you. You know you're living for Him daily. You know that this word that has come in these last days has called your name. You know that these things have been opened to you by revelation. And you are not of this world. You have another group of people. You look in the world. You see people don't want God. They don't want this message. A lot of people want religion. A lot of people want to go on the radio. A lot of people want to be heard. A lot of people want to pitch in the papers. A lot of people want to become popular. A lot of people want to be talked about. A lot of people want to get further in the education. A lot of people want to get greater wealth. A lot of people want to get greater power. People want to go out in the world and have a good time. People want to advance. People want to, you know, prosper in all these things. But there's a people who want to see this world become spirit and life inside of them. Who want to see this once more, Lord. They're crying for us tonight, my God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And the musicians come. This great thing that is happening, that the people is stumbling over. We talk about the fourth seal. We say religion, politics, and demon power uniting. We just use terminology. After a while, the very thing we use blinds us. We get stagnant in our thinking. But friends, tonight, look how this world is changing before our eyes. Look what is happening all around us. Can we see the scripture coming to pass? Can we see the lateness of the hour? Has a channel opened up to us to stir our faith into a realm? That we see something moving us to anoint the promise for this age. A desperation to carry out this commission. To tell everyone we could tell. To give a witness. To see a real standard raised. Not to see us succumbing to the pressures. Bursting apart under the pressure. But to see us becoming that word. The things of this world growing strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. As we bow our heads and close our eyes tonight, ask God tonight to anoint your eyes with eyesight, that you will see. As our brother was preaching last night in Princeton, Elijah prayed, Lord, open the boy's eyes. He said he didn't bring the angels down. They was always there. He just changed the boy's seeing. He said, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Jesus Christ is here. But in another dimension like television. He said we could see all the natural things going on. But there are great happenings in the spiritual realm, friends. How we want to live there. How we want to live on that influence like Jesus lived. He looked at that power in the earth and he studied it. Paul looked at that power in the earth. And he studied it. He longed to go to Rome. To see that church that God has raised him, to let them know the place where God had raised him up. Right in the heart of where the beast had his throne set up there. It says the mystery of iniquity that already work. He saw its influence moving in the earth. Prophet that people call crazy, say he went off in the end. God used him in the beginning, but he got to lift it up and everything else, every evil thing they could say. But look what it was, friends. God came down and every hidden secret, every mystery, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God would be finished. I see such a great need for people to wake up in this hour. We are coming to church. We have learned the art of church services. We are perfected going through the rituals. We have rehearsed our prayers and have become very eloquent in reciting them before God. We have learned how to dress to impress people and can even give a great show of modesty and morality. But there is a deeper something than that. We can have all of that and lack spiritual power. We can have all of that and lack spiritual discernment. How we need to walk and live in that realm where there's a conscious realization. But I'm praying the leadership of the Lord. He says, bring us to the realization of the insane age that we are living in. When we see all these hideous sights coming in. All these plagues in the book to fulfill the book of Revelation. He says, coming is in the making right now. The world is 1 degree from total insanity. The lid is taken off of hell. Demon power is streaming out. Do we see that? Is that what's happening around us, friends? Or have we learned to adjust and become comfortable and blend in to what is taking place? But when these things happen, it causes us to rise up with greater faith, greater expectation, knowing the time clock is striking the hour. May God stir our soul, may He shake us to that realization. Not to fanaticism, to conscious realization. That our eyes could be peeled, our faith could be zeroed, our thinking can be clear, our steps can be certain. Oh, gracious God. Father, tonight, just breaking in on the scripture, barely scratching the surface here, Lord, and trying to hold a little picture here before the church. Lord Jesus, that they could see the things that we are bumping to every day, the things, Lord, that is growing to be accepted by everyone, the things, Lord, that people express in glowing terms of progress. The things that make people rejoice and become at greater ease and becoming more comfortable and more adaptable to the present society. God, we are seeing that it is the very fulfilling of the scriptures. It is the very snare in the making. It's the great net, as it were, being spread across the people. Yeah, Lord, like a voice trying to cry out, watchman, watchman, what of the night? The morning cometh and also the night. Oh, it's good to talk about the morning coming, the great things that are going to happen when Jesus comes and the dead in Christ shall rise first and we shall be changed. But the night also comes with it, Lord. The blackout hour when hell is here and not a darkened chaos. When the hearts of man is so hardened. When the world is matured into that insanity. When gross darkness is upon the earth, pressing the people into such a hideous condition. When it passes, Lord, natural affection. We see the insanity of the mind. Oh God, we see the hideous condition that the people, Lord, is being deformed into. The prophet says, Satan power to deform. He won the battle in the mind. In the majority of the people of this age, He said, all that dwell on the earth, whose name is not in the Lamb's book of life, will worship the beast. If it's possible, even the elected would have worshipped the beast too. But dear God, you sent that angel. Oh God, he came and he tells, why are you wondering? I will show you the mystery. Father, how thankful we are for a seer. One who could have seen and unfolded this great thing, dear God. One who had the spirit of wisdom, the very intelligence, the capstone revelation of seven thunders. The Lord God brought these things into light, Father. Thing that light never shone on. Oh God, you made it so plain. That we might see the trail of the serpent. The beast in the beginning, the beast at the end, dear God. How, Lord, he achieved five high wills. How he had great success. How he's coming in, oh God. Father, to be the God of this evil age. How he built up his Eden, dear God. Bringing it from the agricultural revolution to the industrial revolution. Now in the information revolution. Lord, where the whole world is being transformed. That world united under the fourth seal is coming to a world state, a new world order. Lord God, an age of trade and commerce. Oh God, when all the money of the world is being tied up, dear God. Father and the people, Lord, because the love of money was the root of all evil. Lord God, they trusted in uncertain riches in this age, saying we are rich and increased with goods. But you said you're poor. Come and buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you shall be rich. Oh my God, the day when the rich man, Lord, will howl and the gold will canker, dear God. Hallelujah, and the Lord of Sabbath. The cries of the oppressed will come into his ear. Hallelujah. When that great crash of the stock market is going to come. And the howls in Maktesh, dear God. Oh God. And the system falls. But there will be a people, oh God, who will have such character, go trapped in the fire, that the power of the living God can come to them, Father. The kingdom that they have received that cannot be removed. The world will flash like lightning. Oh God, they will display that dominion that Adam had. That ministry of St. Mark 11:23 will go to operate in, oh God, because of that unfeigned faith. Faith is a grain of mustard seed. Oh God, a power and the character together, dear God. Character fit to rule. Character, oh God, who was tempted at all points and yet without sin. To overcome the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Hallelujah! To prove that they're not like Eve, dear God. To prove, oh God, that they will overcome, will sit with you in your throne. Holy, thank you, Father, in this great hour, in this great testing time, in this great hour, dear God, when everything is being defiled, when everything is being corrupted. But there'll be a bride, Father, who will keep her garments. She will not be found naked, dear God, like Adam and Eve did when they lost that garment in the Garden of Eden. But, oh God, this garment that you have given unto us, the robe of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it'll go beyond our flesh. It'll go beyond our spirit. It'll go deep down into our souls, dear God, bringing a new birth, Father, changing us from the inside, changing us from glory into glory, until the very outside will be transformed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. Such a faithful rapturing grace working in the hearts of your children. You say, wait until those seven thunders are the voices to that little group who can take the word and hand it there. They will have a faith to be changed. Lord, we thank you, Father. We believe that that is what is happening. We believe that's the message of the hour. We believe that the bride revival, while the Roman Empire is being revived, there's a revival on in the bride. Hallelujah! While the same, Lord God, filled in the evil and the darkness. Lord God, when the world fell apart, when the light shone in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, when the whole world was falling apart in that day, dear God, here we see the same thing repeating itself. But oh God, the same way the Son of Man. Hallelujah! Oh God, the Word and the Spirit united together produce, Father, the very life of God made manifest, having preeminences, is going to come back again in these last days. Hallelujah! We thank you, Lord. We thank you, dear God, you waved in the life of our prophet. We thank you to continue on in our many-membered body, oh God. By and through the members of your bride, you will fulfill these things. And I pray tonight, Lord, that these things will move in the hearts of your children. It will go deep down on the inside. It will raise the people up. It will anoint their eyes, that they will break beyond the realm of natural realm of things. They will break into the spiritual realm. They will see the demon powers behind the glory of the kingdoms of this world. They will see the evil beast, ravening beast, dear God, devouring everything. Lord, that they will have something, Father. Lord, a greater power. Oh, God, a greater life, dear God. Something far greater, something this world don't know nothing about.
That great power of the Holy Spirit that comes to us night after night. This great supernatural power of the Holy Ghost that opens up the Word, that quickens the people, that creates faith on the inside, that raises them up in the healing, raises them up in the deliverance, break the powers of darkness around their life, open the prison doors. This great power, Lord God, that's taken us on our journey. This same power, Lord God, is coming down while we work the dynamics in a measure. Until, oh God, a full blast will lift the church into glory. Lord, we pray tonight that, Lord, we just press in. You said the kingdom of God, Lord, men must press into, men must take it by violence. I pray, dear God, there'll be a determination tonight. I pray, oh God, there'll be something perseverant in the hearts of your children, Lord. Lord, as they see your will so clearly, no obstacle, Lord. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the world and the things that are in it. No kind of influence will be able to keep them back, Father. They will bore their way through these things. Oh, God, they will rise above it, oh God. Flying high with the wings of faith that you've given unto them. The Lord, they will live in the heavenlies. I pray, oh God, tonight, the Lord, you will give your church another blast of the Holy Spirit. You will give your church another wave of divine revelation, oh God. Father, another quickening, a waking up, oh God. To see the end is here, Father. To see it in such reality like we never saw it before. To see hell is on the earth, dear God. How much worse can it get, dear God? Lord, when we see what people are being deformed into, when we see the very condition, oh God, when we see the very laws, politically, religiously, everything being put in place, when we see the darkness covering the people, oh God, when we see the religious world, Father, stumbling around in the dark, blind, they don't know where the door is, oh God, groping in the dark. When we see the hardening of the hearts of the people like in Sodom, how they were crying for them angels. They were so perverted in mind. Their tastes were so perverted. They wanted their pleasure with their men. They didn't even want two virgin girls. We see the people in the days of Noah scoffers and mockers. Oh God, they laugh and ridicule and did everything they could. Lord God, to ridicule that prophet and scoffer that method and kill the effect of it. When we see the people in the days of Jesus so religious, trained and knocked and swallowed a camel, white as a poker, they're full of dead men's bones. Lord God, how they wrap themselves in the vain traditions and crucify the vindicated word. And then in these last days, lovers of pleasure, heady and high-minded, lovers, Lord of the world and the things that are of the world. Oh God, we see it all wrong about us. What a condition, Father, is here, dear God. But you talk about a bride who will have that same kind of love that your prophet told me on the curtain of time. He's going to come here, being shed abroad in the hearts of your children, dear God. As Lord, they see this great thing that you have in store for them. I pray tonight, souls will rise up in that realm, dear God. The Lord, there will be some supernatural strength move in the inner man to strengthen us, giving us might and power to pull down every stronghold in the mind and stir us into that channel where we can walk by faith, looking to the things that are unseen, not looking to the things that are seen, Lord, not walking by sight, not having our vision paralyzed, but Lord, breaking in the supernatural realm where we see that snow white dove leading us, oh God, step by step, day by day, dear God, living under the leadership of the great Jehovah in this hour, the pillar of fire. May you have your way, Lord. May you bless your people tonight. May you strengthen them, Lord. May you lift them up on high ground, oh God. And Lord Jesus, may we mount up, Father, into such a place that the things of this world will grow strangely dim, Father. Oh God, there'll be a cry come forth from every heart. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Oh God, what a day that will be, Father. Oh God, let not state of emergency bring us into desperation. But oh God, let the very love of God, let the very grace of God that comes in our midst, Father, let the very grace of God that comes and shows us things ahead of time, even before it gets in close, that we can prepare and make ready, oh God. Father, we can get into the place of safety. We can be sheltered, oh God, before the storms begin to rock and shake the sinker's world, begin to blow to pieces, oh God, that we will be anchored in that secret place, in that hiding place. May you grant it tonight. I pray, oh God, that you hear our prayer, Father. We ask these things, Lord, believing, oh God, that we are part of your great ransom church. You begin this great work inside of us. Oh God, when you cause us to hear the voice of that angel saying, come out of her, my people, and be not partaker of her sins, because her sins have come into heaven, and strong is the Lord that judges her. She stood as a widow, as a queen, and say, I am no widow, but strong is the Lord who executed judgment. Father realized Babylon is fallen, is fallen. That angel has already pronounced judgment upon that Jezebel and upon that Ahab. Oh God, may we wake up, Lord. Maybe they got a little 7,000. Oh God, who didn't bow down the knees, dear God. Who wasn't eating at Jezebel's table, Father. But oh God, who was standing like Elijah stood. Oh God, standing, dear Lord, with a voice, the voice of many waters, foaming out in judgment. That's the voice of the ministers thundering out in judgment, oh God. When that white, weak one comes, the voice of many waters foaming out, Lord. Oh.